All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. September 19th, 2023. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is awesome wherever you are at. It is literally beautiful out. Got up this morning, went for a nice walk. As my daughter says, my man walk. It's pretty pathetic, but whatever. It keeps me moving, keeps the blood flowing, keeps the joints bending. And that is important, at least at this point in my life. I want to try to preserve as much mobility as I can, so I'd like to get up and walk. Not running anymore. My right knee has actually been aching, and I'm not sure what's going on. I mean, and it's not like bad. It's just like, hey, I'm your right knee, and it's here. And I'm just letting you know. And so, yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I don't know if it's my sciatic. I don't know what's going on. I don't think they're all connected. Maybe they are. Who knows? But yeah, that is my slight 911 right now is my knee. I am not paddling this week. I don't know if I said that. I'm going to take a break for the week, going to the race this Saturday. My buddy who I was going to paddle with got COVID. Or not paddle with. We were going to drive up together. He was in a different race, but he's got COVID. It is starting to become a thing. It's so funny during the whole like summer, and you know, I've been, you know, following different people and listening to different opinions, and you know, all summer it's like, no more vaccines, I'm not getting any more vaccines, it's all a bunch of bullshit. And then, you know, it starts showing up again, and where I start really feeling it is at meetings. And I'm sure we all remember when all the meetings got closed down. I do not want that to happen. I saw a buddy of mine last night who I keep seeing at meetings, and I'm like, and he keeps wearing a mask. And I saw him the first time with it, and I thought, I didn't understand. I'm like, are you sick? What's going on? And like, I saw him last night. And I go, what's the deal with the mask? He goes, I don't want to get sick. I said, okay, I get that, no problem. I thought maybe he was sick, and he's like, no, I really can't afford to get sick. I personally cannot afford to get sick either. Yeah. Well, and as soon as school started, the little kids started having, you know, Sam had a sore throat, and it's just right on schedule, right? So I'm sure it is in my future to get something. Hopefully, I have never had COVID, never got it. It doesn't say anything about me. It just says that I don't do much. You know, I tend to just work and go home. So, yeah. But it is a new week, and I did start. I think I mentioned I was going to start going to a new meeting. And it's not a new meeting. It is a new meeting. It's not even I shouldn't even use the word. It's an old meeting that I used to go to. And, you know, I have got to, you know, I'm getting stagnant. I'm getting a little bored in that Monday meeting that I was headed to for the past whatever. And it was a step meeting, and I got bored with reading the steps, which, you know, I've read them a lot, right? I'm trying to hang in there, right? But just got a little bored. And so I'm changing meetings, right? Because as I've shared in the past, there is this feeling, this voice that's like, you know, this meeting's boring. We need to find a new meeting. And that's fine, just as long as I do it, right? And so I told my wife, I'm going to a new meeting. I think it starts at 6:30. It's the same time as the other meeting I was going to. And but it's back down and towards Rehoboth. So during the summer, it's just really too much traffic to get down to it. But now that summer's over and it's getting back to a little bit more normal, I'm like, I want to get back to that meeting. So I went last night, and I left early. The meeting I thought started at 6:30. I left at like 5:55. It literally took me 10 minutes to get there. And as soon as I pulled in the parking lot, I realized this meeting starts at 6. And oh, yeah, it's a step meeting.
Should play the way.
slightly obsessed with this album right now. This is that Rumors album that they released live from 1977 from the Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles, California. And I love it. I'm just obsessed. Stevie Nicks sounds fantastic. And especially that young version of her is so good. I don't know. I dig it. But so, yeah, I go to this meeting, and I forgot that it's actually a step meeting. And it's kind of funny because at one time I used to go to this meeting, and something happened at the meeting where it sort of split, and the other meeting that I've been going to was formed. And so I've been going to that other meeting, but now I just realized, oh, yeah, this was the step meeting that was formed out of the step meeting. So it's a whole lot of words to say, a whole lot of nothing, but the reality is it is a step meeting. So I got to the meeting, and it starts at 6, so of course I was late. Hey, but whatever. I get to the meeting. It was awesome. Great meeting. What I realize is that I'm not as much tired of the steps. I'm just sort of tired of the environment that we were talking about, the steps. And I think if anybody, you know, if you go to a lot of meetings, sometimes you get stagnant, right? You just have to keep your finger on the pulse because the steps will always read the same, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They never change, right? It's just the perspectives, right? It's just the delivery, right? And what bothers me, and it's not just with one meeting in general, but what bothered me was that, you know, a meeting, for me at least, my opinion, take it or leave it, but a meeting should have opportunities for people to take a commitment, right? Most meetings that I go to every month, the speaker or the leader or the person that runs the meeting changes. You know, it's you put out a list with 12 slots. I'll take December. I'll take October. You know, people take it and they take the commitment, right? That is the point of service work, right? That's what, I mean, service work kept me sober. Service work continues to keep me sober. It's important that we allow people to participate in service work. Right. I mean, I remember when I came in, I was at the freaking bottom. I was sludge, right? I had a job, you know, I was civil, but the reality was I'd lost all hope, right? I had no value in myself. I was so twisted in my thoughts. I had no relationship with the higher power. I was consumed by self-will. I had a constant conversation with my lower power. I didn't even, you know, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but, you know, the meeting was on that step 11. And, you know, I could use some step 11 back then. I could not find the trees through the forest. All I heard was one voice, and it was low. And so when I came into this program, and I remember the first opportunity that I had to be of service, I felt amazing. Right? And I think that the meeting, right, and the program and the people and the whole scene got its hooks into me a little bit. Right? Just a little bit. I didn't need to be sucked into this program, but I was given opportunities to be part of, right? And I hadn't been part of anything, right? I had small, brief moments being part of like small groups selling drugs or groups that like to drink, really, but nothing of any value, right? I mean, at my work, where I was working at the time, I was working on a golf course. I mean, I was part of that, but that was pretty rough, right? So I literally wasn't part of anything. And so when service started to become available, I remember, you know, Ron M, he was like, listen, you can be a greeter. And I'm like, well, shit, I don't really have any greeting experience. And he's like, you just stand there and you shake people's hands and you say, welcome. And I was like, okay. And I remember how freaking proud I felt. I was so proud. I think my shoulders went back a little bit, right? And I stood there and every person that walked up, I said, welcome. My name's Tom, welcome. My name's Tom. Welcome. And it just allowed me to be a part of. And then over time, I became, you know, I took a month, you know. And when you take that month, you find people to speak, right? And I was feeling like this past meeting that I'd been going to, no one was really doing that. It's like, hey, oh, I forgot to ask somebody, can you speak? And I'm like, geez, I just spoke, right? So whatever. It's growing. It's great, right? I love all meetings. It's got to figure itself out. And the one thing that I know, though, that when I get a little bit funky, I can find another meeting. And so that's what I did. I went to this new meeting, which is my old meeting. And it was terrific. Packed with people, you know, new, you know, someone taking the commitment every month. And what I like about this meeting is it's a lot of positive perspective. And the meeting yesterday was on the 11th step, right? And the 11th step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, which is crazy. The knowledge of his will for us. I don't, you know, that one's, you know, what I shared last night is, first thing I shared was is that, you know, when I came to this program, I did not understand what prayer is. I don't understand, you know, I had a vision of prayer, right? As a kid, I grew up and prayer was, you know, something we used to ask for things, to fix things. Or at least that's what I heard. I don't know if someone specifically said that, but my self-centered little pea brain, it's all it heard. Ask and you shall receive, right? And so that was how that whole relationship started was, you know, what can you do for me? Not what can I do for you? What can you do for me? And that's a tough, you know, that's a rough foot to start off on when you're trying to start a relationship with the higher power through prayer, right? And so it didn't go well. I sort of fell away from it. But over time, and I shared this last night, you know, and the person that spoke last night who did a fantastic job shared the same thing. It takes the first 10 steps, right, to get to the 11th step. A lot of work. And I shared this at the meeting that I went to the other night about the 11th promise, right? A whole lot of work, a whole lot of commitment, a whole lot of surrendering, a whole lot of humility, a whole lot of transitioning from that self-centered asshole to a person with some humility, even to understand what humility is, right? Even to understand what my initial problem was, which was I thought was drinking, I thought was getting caught, was really that I live on self-will. And if I put a drink in my mouth, I literally cannot stop. But that, you know, it takes a lot of time and work to start to understand this, right? You know, and I shouldn't have. I don't know, maybe I should have, maybe I shouldn't have. But I'm like, why is the 11th step where the 11th step is, right? Why does it follow the 10th step? You know, I'm thinking, well, why doesn't it follow like the third step, right? When we turn our will, our thinking in our lives, our action over to the care of a higher power. This to me sounds like where you would want to start building that relationship, right? But the reality, I mean, for me at least, for me, is that I was pretty in touch with something early on in that part of my recovery. In those, like in the, when I was in the third step, you know, it was all program, right? Self hadn't shown back up quite yet. Self was like, we're just going to let you do your thing and we'll come back and check in on you later, right? And so as a person today who's been doing this for a while and has some time, now is when I struggle to always have that conversation, right? This is where at this point in my time where I've been through the steps, right? I've had the spiritual awakening. I've working with others. I've gotten better, right? Because once you reach the top, right, and I've said this before, you know, I tend to get to the top of the mountain, then I run around the tip of the mountain and just make trouble, right? Instead of being like, hey, I am recovering. I understand. I know what to do. What part of the program am I working to, you know, to satisfy parts of my life that I'm having trouble or having amazing times, right? They're just as freaking dangerous, right? So the reality is it doesn't matter where the 11th step is, but what I said last night is that my God, my humility, right? My whatever the opposite of self is, my higher power is very quiet, very humble, just like a person would be, right? You know, I know some humble people and I know some very self-centered people, some very loud people and I know some very quiet people, right? I know people that do not need attention. I know people that don't care if anybody even knows they're even in the room or exist. And then I know other people, all they care about is that you know that they're alive, right? And so, but that's sort of how my high and lower powers are, right? My lower power is very loud, always has something to say, right? Something happens immediately. Fuck that. Let's do something. Let's go around them, pull around, just throw the money on the counter and walk out. You know, some arrogant behavior. Right? But I have to pause. Right? I have to take a second. I have to take a break. I have to separate myself from my lower power and be quiet and allow my higher power to give me the thought, right? My go on our second thought. Why? Because the first one's probably from our lower power, more than likely, right? When you're buying something, oh shit, I want to buy a boat. Oh, I found the perfect boat, right? I got the boat. This is it. I'm going to buy it. Take a second. I don't know. Would this be called meditating, right? Would this be that spiritual connection, that contact with our higher power, right? Is the first thought our lower power that comes at us? Buy the boat, buy the boat, buy the boat, buy the boat. A lot of times, man, I've listened to the first power, our first thought, boom, I bought the boat. Yeah, I don't own a boat, but, you know, I've made those decisions. And then after you've done it and it's all said and done, ego and pride start to fade away and humility settle in. And you're like, what did I do that for? Right? It's whether it's a purchase, whether it's a comment, whether it's an action, a response, right? Restraint from pen and tongue. Is that meditation? Right? Can I hear the first, can I hear the second thought ever? Right? Usually not, right? Because my lower power is loud and proud. And so I have to take a second, right? I have to pause and I have to meditate and I have to think about it and I have to try to connect with my higher power and try to find what the real answer is. More than likely, it's the opposite of what I initially thought, right? You know, I was struggling a few weeks, month or so ago. You know, I shared it many times, right? People left. It's not that anything that I did. You know, it's just the times that we're going through. It's just shit happens, right? It's nothing personal. But people have to make choices, right? And I understand that. But when a couple people make choices that self doesn't like, self gets all offended, right? And, you know, I remember having conversations with people about getting rid of the salon, selling it, walking away, all this stuff. And having relaxed and thought about it and realized, man, there's a bunch of cops flying up the road. Probably a bad accident. Godspeed, people. I don't even know what I was saying. The point is that, you know, I that second thought is usually the one I have to go with, and it takes a little work to hear it, right? So, you know, maybe that's part of that, right? It's all good stuff. Let's see here. Those cops distracted me. Now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, man. 19 minutes. All right. So, so it was great. It was great to get back to that meeting. I think, you know, it is the other challenge about the 11th step. It's weird to have conversations about these, you know, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th step. It is, bro, it is a lot of fucking work to get through these steps. I don't, you know, no judgment. You know, it took me a hot minute to get through them to a place where I at least started to get some sort of understanding, right? I would imagine most of those people in that room last night aren't on the 11th step, right? Most people are probably on the 4th or 5th step, right? And, you know, it's tough, like I shared last night. You know, the 11th step is like math. It's like having basic math and then sitting down and trying to talk about, you know, algebra, right? It's there is a huge amount of work that goes from basic math to algebra, right? There's a huge amount of work that go from like the third step to the 11th step, right? It's a ton of work, but it's worth it. It is worth it, but it's tough to talk about it, right? It's tough to talk about it. And I said last night, listen, just keep working at it. Just keep coming back. It is weird. How these steps sort of reveal themselves, and they're sort of in a manner in a row of, they're placed in such a way that they sort of help the next one to the next one, right? You know, we come in, this is my personal opinion, but we're just so stuck in a self-centered, self-serving mode, we're oblivious to what's going on, right? I had done it for so long, I was oblivious. And so when I would see a guy just shake somebody's hand, I was like, whoa, that And it would make me emotional. Right? I'm still fucking broken inside. I still see things that are super humble, and they still make me cry. Right? I'll tell you, the thing that makes me cry the worst is when these ex-football players show up at these other ex-football players and let them know that they made the Hall of Fame. I'm fucking crying all over the place because I just know the dedication and amount of work that goes into that stuff and the sacrifice, right, that goes into that. I'm not comparing that to getting sober either. I'm just, for some reason, I love football and I love the amount of work and the level that these people the amount of work that they have to put in to get to this level. And then when they finally get recognized by their peers and they get brought into the Hall of Fame, for some reason, I cry. Broken inside still, man. That stuff is awesome. But I was so broken that the slightest bit of a humble act to shake hands, to see men hug, right? The only man I'd ever hugged was my father, right? And if I, this self-centered, devil-filled, dark mind probably immediately thought, if you hug another guy, that makes you gay. And that's not true, you idiot, right? This is just stupid thinking. And so just to learn how to let go of these, poisonous thoughts and these poisonous feelings, I was a broken person, right? I was a broken, broken person. And over time, the pieces have slowly been put back together. And I'm just so, so grateful. And the 11th step today plays a big role in that. But I'm also, I don't pray, right? I have one prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, I'm not strong enough. I have faith that you will take care of what I can't take care of. I don't ask for anything. I don't hold my hand, carry me, and don't ask for any of that. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. That's it. I recognize I am not God. You are. I'm having a selfish moment. I need it to stop. Right? When I get caught up in that stuff, I am consumed in self. Self-centered fear, self-centered will, all of it. And the only freaking thing I can do, the only solution is to pray that prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. It recognizes that there's a God. It shows some humility, and it helps, right? But I don't say, dear Lord, fix the situation that I got in. Nope. Because I believe that whatever comes out of this, I shall learn and grow from, whether it's good or bad. More likely, the worse it is, the more I grow. Right? And so and that's the other thing. What I always thought was good turns out sometimes is bad. And what I've always thought was really bad turns out sometimes it's good and good for you. All right, well, let me read this. Let's see if we can do a daily reflections. I am working today. Papal. Got a job. My buddy is not going to ride with me up to that race. It's kind of a drag. It's weird. Last night I got some anxiety about it doing this race. I don't know what my problem was, but I'm all right now. I worked it out. Okay, here we go. September 19th, acceptance. Sounds like surrendering, right? Sounds like humility. Acceptance. We admitted we couldn't lick alcohol with our own remaining resources, and so we accepted the further fact that that dependence upon a higher power, if only our AA group, could do this hitherto impossible job. The moment we were able to accept these facts fully, our release from the alcohol compulsion had begun. All right, I'm going to try to read that without butchering it. Here we go. We admitted we couldn't lick alcohol with our own remaining resources, and so we accepted the further fact that dependence upon a higher power, if only an AA group could do this hitherto impossible job, the moment we were able to accept these facts fully, our release from the alcohol compulsion had begun. Yeah. That says Bill sees it, page 109. Freedom came to me only with my acceptance that I could turn my will, thinking, and my life, actions over to the care of a higher power whom I call God. Serenity seeped into this chaos of my life when I accepted that what I was going through was life and that God would help me through my difficulties and much, much more as well. Since then, he has helped me through all my difficulties when I accept situations as they are, not as I wish them to be. Then I can begin to grow and have serenity and peace of mind. When I accept situations as they are, when I surrender, right? That's sort of like, it's like that guy I was chatting with, I still chat with, but, he couldn't surrender certain things. He couldn't just, take responsibility, realize the part he played, and just let it go, right? He could not, and he was so upset about certain things that had happened to him, right, in his mind, not being able to understand what part we play in it. Yeah, it's all surrender, man. Surrender and accountability. And I think they're probably whittled down far enough. They're probably the same freaking thing, right? Surrender and become accountable. That's, to me, the beginning of, at least getting down these steps and trying to find some peace, right? Peace. And what it said there, serenity and peace of mind. There is more than just being free of drinking. The act of having a peace of mind. All right. Hey, I hope everyone has a great day. I appreciate you letting me share. I'll catch you later. Bye.